Well, good morning. It's February the 13th, 2016. Can you believe it? Half of the month is gone already. And this is one of the first weekends that I'm feeling worthy of sitting in front of this microphone, sharing with you the graciousness of God's gift of life to me. Thank you for coming to my website, and thank you for frequenting it on a regular basis and being patient as you wait. Look at that picture on the website that I have up there. You know what that is? Let me explain that picture to you. Oh, wait a minute. Do you hear the music in the background? The Dells. Oh, what a night. Listen. That's, you know, I grew up on that kind of music, and I got up this morning and I said, okay, now John, you got to get up, you got to shave, you got to start working on school formats and all that kind of stuff. You got the notes for the students up, but you haven't spoken to your friends that's been praying for you. And first of all, I want to say to my friends that every month, make sure that I have a nice lunch on the weekends. Thank you so much. Guess what I had? Chicken curry. It was good. Chicken curry from one of my favorite Japanese little, let's go in there and get a bite to eat before dinner. Oh, I had such a good time. Thank you to my friends, the Wigglies. I love you so much. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this, coach. Look at this. I said, Saturday afternoon in Los Angeles when I was a kid, standing in the middle of Broadway. That could have been around Broadway and 4th or 5th Street, I'm not sure. But looking north, me and my grandma, usually my kid brother Brad, and Ross were with me. And I headed towards Woolworth's lunch counter. You just had to be there to feel the rattle of this old flagship rapid transit in Los Angeles. Man, streetcars down Broadway. And to even think that they're rebuilding a rail system all through this city right now, that is incomprehensible. I live in the Crenshaw-Leimert Park area, and to know that they're building an underground train is just amazing. Just amazing that God will let me live so long. Oh, man, this is Nat King Cole. What? Listen. Anyone that you adore can love is all that I can give to you. Love is all I can give to you. Love is more than just a game. It's more than just a game to choose. Love can make it. Yes. Take my heart and please don't break it. Love was made for me and you know, Nat usually played with the larger bands, and they loved playing for him. He had such a silver voice. He was such a leader of his day in music. Don't know too much about the morality of Nat King Cole. The only thing that I heard is that his poor wife scrubbed her fingers to the bone to take care of him when he first got started off in the singing industry, because it was very difficult for an African-American in this country, especially if you were good-looking. And Nat, of course, wore his processed hair, which was a kind of a conked down hairdo that made his hair look like white guy's hair. So a lot of white guys down south didn't like him, but on the West Coast and in the North and in Capitol Records and things like that, they just loved him. Now, you know what's really weird, and let me pause this right now. You know what's really weird is that he's gone and his daughter is gone, Natalie Cole. She died here not too many weeks ago, and I think that, well, she was a pretty nice singer, but her dad, man, every time I look at this streetcar, it's as if I was standing with a Kodachrome camera and took the picture myself, because at that time in Los Angeles, the streetcars came and stopped in the middle of the street, and everybody, you were in the middle of the street and a little thing there, and you just stepped on the coach, stepped on the car. No cars ever hit anybody. Everything was so decent and in order. Los Angeles has always been a marvelous, marvelous city to live in. Otis Redding singing, My Girl. Man, what a classic. Listen. Yeah, see, these are the old songs. I mean, just listen. Yeah. Otis Redding sings soul. Yeah, it's kind of nice to listen to Pandora as you get up in the morning. Why did I choose this subject matter for you today? Well, I'll tell you what I'll do is I'll pause it right now because I want to talk to you a little bit. I was thinking here a couple of days ago, and it's good to think out loud. And I was telling one of my play sons around here, he came around here, and he asked me how I was feeling. I said, well, and then there was another young man visiting too. I said, I feel like I've been here a little bit too long, and then my body and my mind and everything about me, because, you know, I made 72 on February the 8th, and I feel that my body and my mind is getting older and is catching up with me. I really struggle this first week in the school. I'm feeling tremendously better because I was able to get up around 5:30, 6 o'clock this morning and shave and take care of myself. And then I got a little hungry for food, made a few hot cakes, cup of coffee, because I'm going to spend all day in the office today. I'll probably move on out later on, but I was thinking and I said, oh God, if you can help me get back to where I was before this maddening flu hit me about 4 or 5 weeks ago, because it's been hanging on, taking my energy. I love teaching in the classroom. This semester, God has gifted me, blessed me with just smiling faces, a great group of young people that are so interested in world religions, ethics again. Thank God I can teach that again. And intro to philosophy. And I'm in a quandary now because I don't know what movies that I want to show my ethics class, but I want them to be two grand movies that we can look at philosophically and ask questions about it. Ask questions about the culture. When you think about the new streetcars that they're building in the city, I remember these, and these were MTA cars, a Metropolitan Transit Authority, I think is what they call these things. And these were the older coaches. And they had a couple that would come from Watts, and even all the way from Long Beach. They called them the red cars because the MTA was competing with the, I forget what the red cars were called. And then you had the Atkinson motor lines. They had the buses that was rolling from Compton around Rosecrans and Central is where that company was. And you just had a lot of things going in Los Angeles. And to grow up and see all this stuff, and then to think about when I was in my early 20s, after I had survived growing up in Los Angeles, going to the Los Angeles junior high schools and high schools, and not getting shot, stabbed, or threatened. I remember one day exclusively I had to walk home from school, and I went to Compton Avenue School. I can talk about it now because I'm an adult, and I can talk about it, and it doesn't embarrass me. But I had to urinate, and I couldn't hold it. And when I just let it dribble down my jeans, and some of the kids saw it, and they laughed at me for about 4 blocks. And I just smiled. I didn't care. I felt such a relief. It was a different time. A different time. I guess you could call it a time of innocence. It was kind of like a time of innocence this morning when my dog looked at me and had this expression on his face, will you walk me? And I remember I made this little promise to my little bull terrier. Every day when I get up, if I'm healthy enough, bro, man, as I take my morning constitution to walk, so shall I walk with you too. And all those old frame of references came in my mind as I put the older music on, the music that I came up listening to, not necessarily the music that is popular today. Because when I hear people talk about, and you know, I don't really mean to talk about them in the classroom when I'm there, but I'm serious. I don't give a hoot about Mariah Carey, Jay-Z, and all these people, because I would rather hear, you know what? I heard a love song this morning. I forget who it was by. I think it was one of the earlier Sam Cooke songs, and he was singing, "Oh yes, I let nothing separate us from this love that we have. I let nothing separate me from the love that I have for you." I was listening to that song, and I thought about my wife, Lucy. I thought about the first time I met her. I want to talk to you young people a little bit. I met her in 1967. I had just gotten out of the Army. It was a wild and exciting time. No lust, no sex, no let's get naked, let's rub body parts together, nothing like that. Have you ever met somebody for the first time and looked into their eyes? And they look back at you and just smiled at you. And I'm not trying to get sentimental or anything. It's like this old streetcar up here. You know, I had to put a picture up there to fit what I'm talking about. Because I want to go back. I don't like the way it is today. I don't like the way it is when boy meets girl. Because, you know, all the boys are thinking about is, oh man, I want to knock that stuff out. I want to knock that dead. I want to knock it unconscious. I want to make her feel like she's, no, we don't want that. We don't need that. We don't require that. I think that what we require in this life is true intimacy. I mean, it's so volatile, so dangerous out there in the streets. You have to be very careful who you fall in love with. And I am proposing today that, like that old streetcar right there, unless you get into, wait, there's another oldie that I was listening to, and it was a Smokey Robinson. It was the first Tamla record, 45 record, that I ever bought when I was in, I think, high school, or maybe the 9th or 10th grade, I'm not sure, but it was called Shop Around. My mama told me to shop around with Smokey Robinson. And when you listen to the words of that song, when you look at it, it's such good advice that a mother would give her son. I was listening to that, and that's why I chose the woman that I did. I didn't choose a black woman to fall in love with. I chose the woman. I shopped around. Oh, I had acquaintances with young black women. A very pretty Ida Webb was one of them. I find myself thinking of Ida often, wondering whatever happened to her. I do hope that she had a very rich and endearing life. She was such a pretty girl. And I met her when I was in the 8th grade at Markham Junior High School on, I think that's 104th and Compton Avenue, Markham. And you have to keep in mind that I was in the second graduating class from Markham Junior High, because we, my brothers and sisters and I, we lived on 107th between Central and Compton Avenue. And so you could look down the street from our grandma's house, where that was, and you could see the junior high school. We'd walk to school. Listen, that area is so gang infested now. I couldn't walk down that street with this red t-shirt that I have on now. I'd probably be shot. But I recall skipping down the street with my friends. We would leave my granddad's house, and then, of course, we had to to live with them because my mom had died when I was 12. And so we went through terrible times too. Terrible times. But we made it. And you know how we made it? I want to tell you how we made it. We made it because of the attitude of the disposition that I had this morning when I got up. I said, God, I wanna go back to, I don't wanna look out the window and see the new chemtrails that they're shooting across the skies now. I don't wanna see that. I mean, when I walked my dog this morning, there were no chemtrails up there. When I walked my dog, it was nothing but sunshine and cool, fresh air. I walked him with a t-shirt on, without a sweater. It was beautiful to feel the sun warming my body in such a way that was just outstandingly beautiful. I'm aware of that. I'm watching my neighbors lay new driveways in their driveway. I wish I had the money to do it, but I had to take this time. Because what I wanted to do is I wanted to share with you, to my friend the Wigleys, to my friend Leonard Lyles and his family back east, Brother Lyles, I'm the same PJ. I'm just looking at life from a perspective of truth and reality. I let me share with you yesterday, since, you know, this is the biblical alternative, and some of my new students this semester may not really know what I try to do. See, I am speaking to a group of us, if we're still around, that had the indelible belief that the faith that we practiced so many years ago would never wane, would never cease to be powerful, influential, and it would be territorial. It would be something that would, wherever we go, that faith would go with us. I want to encourage those that are not trying to find a new religion, not trying to find a new kind of peace, not trying to find any happiness in television. I'm telling you, a couple of days ago, Netflix asked me for my password. I forgot what it was. I wouldn't even retype it in. I didn't want to see any movies anyhow. And I finally typed it in last night. I said, okay, I feel like sitting in the living room watching a movie. And I watched the movie and I said, oh my God, help me. Is this what people are watching? See what I mean? And guess what I did? I just turned on regular television, and on one of the movie stations, they had a movie that was made in 1949, meaning that I was 5 years old. I was 5 years old when this movie came out. And the movie was starring Ethel Waters and, white girl that started, and she was a well-known actress, but it was called Pinky. And Pinky was a story about a black woman that was born in the South of black parents, but she could pass for white, and that she had gone up north to go to nursing school, and she came back to support her grandmother down in the deep South, and the difficulties that she had to go through. And it was interesting because at the beginning of the film, it said, this film is not recommended for children. And when they showed that, because that's what they had to put on the screen, there were racial epithets in it, attempted rape scenes and things like that. And they had it right on the screen. This is not for children. You see, it was an innocent age that we lived in. They were saying, protect your children from these themes. Now when you look at what our children see on television, and then when you go to my Netflix, they ask, is this for youth or is this for John? I always say, this is for me. This is my station. And I'm not going to put a block on my station because children don't have any business looking at anything on my television. Now, we live in a different day and age. But the God that I worship and the God that I serve is not change. I'm going to use a term now. And the term is called immutability. Now, I know that some of these terms, some of you are not going to like listening to, because some of you are not going to want me to preach to you. Well, I'm not talking to you. Turn it off. I didn't tell you to come here. But immutability is a term meaning that God cannot change. He will forever remain the same. Immutability is not like that old yellow car with the white top, the little electrical car, gling, 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 gling. I remember the gling, gling. See, that changed, because when you look at the new cars coming through, they're so smooth, they don't rattle as much. And I'm telling you, to get on that thing and to hold on to the bar as the coach started moving and you were shoveling to the right and to the left was a lot of fun. They just had one sign saying, hold on. It was wonderful. A wonderful time to live. Oh, why is it every time I do a webcast, my dog wants to start a ruckus next door? Bro, man. But immutability. The Metropolitan Transit Authority may change its coach. It may change its name, but the lane doesn't change. Takes down the same route. See, God has taken us down the same route. Because a culture has lost its moral frame of reference, does not mean that God is no longer cognizant or conscious of what he demands of his creation. Of what he demands of me. And you know, when I got up this morning, like I told you earlier, I was thinking earlier, and I said, John, your time has run out. Get sick, go down, die. Rid the world of your dialogue, of your insane idea that this invisible deity, this majestic, I'm looking out of the window of the Lucy Coleman studio now, and it's beautiful to see the blue sky and to know that millions of miles straight in one direction that I'm looking up into is not the end of this. And to be able, in my own mind, on a little dot in the universe, to think about my Creator and to extol him for what he's done for me. I had breakfast this morning, a cup of coffee and a few hot cakes. I took my pills, my cholesterol pills, my aspirin to thin my blood. I walked my dog. I breathed the fresh air. Now I'm working in the office for the rest of the day. But before I did that, what I had to do is I had to take some time and spend it with you to admonish you, to consider the God that will allow you to see changes in your lives. This old man has lived a hell of a long time. I remember when that car was going down Broadway and 7th. Now on Broadway and 7th, they have outside restaurants. You can actually eat like you're dining in Paris somewhere. Go over a couple of blocks to Hill Street. It would be, man, I hope that my health catches up with me, and so that I can ride my bike again downtown, because this is the perfect day to get on my bike and to ride from my home all the way in downtown Los Angeles, have lunch down there in one of the sidewalk cafes, walk around in the garment district with my bike and my helmet, and just look around. Gosh, it's great to be alive and to thank God and to know, listen, and see, I have to stop belly aching, because I was belly aching saying, okay, I'm feeling tired, because before I could not speak this long. I've been speaking almost 30 minutes. This is the first day that I've been able to speak more than 5 minutes on this mic without losing my breath. And so instead of me complaining about my life, I have to go back and recall what I've been taught. Oh, no. That's called a commercial. What I have to do is I have to remember in my old age that God still has a purpose for me, that it wasn't a mistake. And I think I'm going to end up with this number because it's the Isley Brothers. And this number is called Twist and Shout. The Beatles copied them. And I can't do the Twist and Shout now, but I'm gonna end up with this and say, don't do like I did. Relish in what God has given you. To the Wigglies, listen, my friends, listen. Relish in what God has given you. You guys, get up, grab each other by the hands, and just twist. Nice exercise. I wish I had Lucy here with me to do the twist and shout. Yeah. Oh, did I ever call that person that I met a couple of days ago that I was talking about? Nah, of course not. No. Those days are gone. Those days are over. I know that. I'm mature enough to know it. Now what I'm doing is I'm relishing in the past because my present is cool right now, I'm telling you. It's very cool because I can listen to this music and get my work done. See you later. No, I wanted to be a DJ back in the day. Yes, I did. I wanted to be a DJ. I recall, man, I can't even end this cast. I'm having such a great time. I used to ride in that 54 Chevy with my daddy, and I used to say, Daddy, how much do they pay those guys that's talking on the radio? He said, I don't know. Why? Because I told him when I grow up, that's what I wanted to be. And you hear this group right here, you know who this is? You know who this is, don't you?
World has been building up inside of me for, oh, I don't know how long.
This group is called the Beach Boys. Very popular Southern California rock and roll group. Man. Surfers. Don't worry, baby. This is from an album called Surfer Girl, the Beach Boys. Well, myself, Clarence Armstrong, he's now dead. We were in a singing group called the Five Speeds. We were going to be the first black, kind of like surfer. I don't know whether all of us could swim or not, but we were going to dress like the Beach Boys and be black and do that thing. And that was our idea. Eddie Bills was going to be our manager. And we were on the way. I wish I could find the reel-to-reel tape where we had written about five or six songs, presented it to Mr. Eddie Bill on Hollywood and Vine in his studio, and he had us pictured to become successful rock and roll black guys that sung white. You know, like Justin Bieber and the rest of them are doing to the blacks. Well, we were going to do that to the whites. Back in the day, I remember that. Beach Boys was one of my favorite groups, I'm telling you. Yeah. All right, that's enough. Hey, thanks for coming to the website, and thank you for your prayers for me. For the students, please copy your notes from the philosophy page and know that they will be removed on sometime tomorrow morning. Okay? Don't worry, baby. Just copy the notes.